Mr. Mann, you have something you need to introduce.
Just a moment. Okay. Required to read a statement prepared by our attorneys just before we start the fiduciary training. I'm just going to read from this document here. Please note for board members that Makita Investment Group is not a law firm, not engaged in the practice of law, and is not authorized to render any advice to the board. The information provided in the slides should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from an attorney who is authorized to advise the board. None of the citations to Oregon law, statutes, and rules should be relied upon or understood as conveying the correct application of the board. Board members should always consult with authorized legal counsel or questions related to their fiduciary duties. And
thank you, Ms. Mann. Let me have the Makita team introduce themselves, and then we can begin.
Great. Well, thank you for having us again. We're excited to be back. Some of you look familiar, and so I think a few new people will probably be here down the road. But my name's Kay Cesarani, and I'm a shareholder at Makita. I've been around in the industry for over 30 years. I see that, and I say it, and it's still so hard to believe that it's been that long. And I head up our 529 business at Makita. We work with 12 different states and agencies. So I guess I'm the resident expert, at least at our firm. And then I'll have Powell introduce herself in just a second. On the first slide or page 2 of our deck, you'll also see Mika Malone listed. She was part of the presentation last year. She had a conflict, so she couldn't partake. But she's here with us in spirit, and she certainly had a role in putting all these documents together. So I'll hand it off to Powell.
Great. Thank you. For the record, Paula Nealon with Makita Investment Group. I'm excited to be here. I've been with Makita for 7 years, and prior to my time at Makita, I was actually here at Oregon State Treasury as an investment officer. So I've been on sort of both sides of the table from a public and private sector perspective. I've got about 15 years of investment industry experience. And with that, I'm going to cut it short because I know that we are already three minutes into the presentation.
Okay. And just real quick, before we get started, we've organized the book, as you described earlier, into three different sections. Paul is going to go over the Oregon retirement section. We'll do it together for the fiduciary section, and I'll cover the 529. Just like last year, we've set it up or structured it where hopefully to try to make it a little bit more exciting. We don't want any heads thumping on the desk, so we're trying to keep it a little more engaging. You have some candy there. We're going to have some trivia questions throughout. Please self-reward or just eat the candy. So I'll, and actually we're going to have a trivia question to start to get things started. So what popular Thanksgiving dish was created in Oregon? Cranberry sauce, pecan pie, green bean casserole, or tofurkey? And just feel free to blurt it out.
Tofurkey?
Tofurkey.
Yes. It was created in 1995 in Hood River. So now we can get down to serious business.
All right. On that note, yes, exactly. Something hopefully to be just as equally exciting. We're going to kick it off with what is a state-sponsored IRA. And defined simply, they are simply retirement plans for workers without a 401k. As we know, employers are required to offer these, and employers could potentially start funding as soon as, in some cases, 60 days of the hire date, which is in Oregon SAVES. This is made possible, or why is this important, is because of the auto enrollment feature that is a key point of the state IRA programs. Another feature is the opt-out. All participants are able to opt out at any point. This is very important. Now, a little tidbit, as you all know, the opt-out rate is between 25 to 30%. So it's inertia can sometimes work both ways, right? Pulling out as well as taking that first step. Another key feature is the savings are portable. As you know, a lot of these workers tend to potentially maybe move around from workplace to workplace, and they carry that retirement account everywhere they go. The goal with these programs is, and this is a side quiz, to reach millions with no access to employer plans. So feel free to grab a candy if you already knew that. Little bit of tidbit, over half of the states now have programs, as you know, and we've been hearing it. Kudos to Oregon leading the movement on that front. And if we can maybe turn to the next page, we can, oh, just before covering real quick, I just wanted to sort of note the key differences between kind of a state-run program and a traditional 401k. As you know, the state-sponsored is sponsored by the state versus the traditional 401k that is sponsored by the employer. And in general, you know, the state IRAs have lower limits as well as simpler administrative duties behind it. All right.
So I'm going to read the trivia questions in this. So which state is the most recent to launch an auto IRA program? A, Maine, B, Nevada, C, New York, or D, Rhode Island?
New York.
Close.
They're very close. They were both in October. October 8th for New York and October 21st for Rhode Island.
Oh, that's
so there, it's like.
You give up.
Right. Okay, so let's look at the landscape out there. So in total here, what you see here is a list of all state auto IRA programs. You have a 14 open, with Minnesota being projected to launch in 2026. A couple of things, sort of what stands out to me here when you look at it. The program is still in infancy. It started in 2017, and we have a long way to go, but we've also accomplished a lot in a short time frame. You know, as I mentioned, we've got 14 total that have launched, highlighting Oregon's 2017 launch, which is right at the top. The vast majority of programs out there are under this auto IRA enrollment. And, you know, as I said, you know, we expect this to continue to grow. In terms of target date funds, all the way on the far right side, you'll notice that BlackRock and State Street seem to be sort of the predominant players in that field. You know, Makita also is the investment consultant for CalSAVERS, and we also have State Street and the target date funds on that as well. Any questions? If not, we can turn to the next page. Great. So this is the investment option menu that you see for the programs that are out there in existence. And a couple of things that stand out to me, really, this is looking under the hood in terms of the investment options. All programs have a money market fund for liquidity purposes. A lot of times, too, that the initial funding or the cash coming in from the participants goes into either a capital preservation or a money market fund before often going then to a target date fund. Second is a fixed income, a bond fund that the role of that is more for capital preservation, and you tend to see that offering kind of across the board. And then as well as an equity-like offering for the growth component for any plan. What stands out here, Oregon Saves actually has a U.S. equity only fund, whereas a lot of folks have international exposure as well as an offering. CalSAVERS and Maryland have chosen to do a global equity option, which actually brings together both U.S. and international into one single option for participants to save. CalSAVERS also has an ESG fund. That was something that was very important to the participants. CalSAVERS is also a very big state with a lot of potential savers. And so we felt that that was important to them, and we included that as an option. Then you have Connecticut and Rhode Island offering not only target date fund, which we tend to see as the typical common offering, but as well as a target allocation fund. And interestingly enough, a little bit of an outlier is New Jersey, where you see within the equity bucket a variety of different options, both in size, so mid-cap fund, small-cap fund, but as well as style, offering a small-cap value fund and a small-cap core fund. So a little bit of an outlier, particularly when we will look at these programs and we think one of the key design features is simplicity. But just to note.
All right, next question. Which state is the lead for the Partnership for a Dignified Retirement? Any guesses? Got it? Colorado, yes. So Colorado is the one plan that has a coalition. I think there's six states in it now, and they would start. Maine was the first state to join it.
Page 9 also offered an asterisk about that, but I know the highlight of that page was that Oregon was the first to launch. So, okay, let's turn to page 12. I'll try to keep this rather brief. In 2015, the board was established. In 2017, you saw the launch of Oregon Saves. Savers are auto-enrolled after 60 days at a 5% contribution start. That then escalates 1% every year until you get capped at a 10%, at which point it sort of stays, levels off. Again, that's assuming savers do not change the contribution rate, which they can at any point in time. Opt-out, I will continue to repeat, is always allowed. Right now, we see about an opt-out rate of 20 to 35%, and I really think that that is a reflection of the power of this feature, as I mentioned before. Let's flip the page to page 13, unless there are any other questions. Governing laws, this is a lot of text, a lot of words, but essentially this, just to highlight that ORS 178 gives the board fiduciary authority. So all of the details are in that statute. And then we're going to skip.
So page 15.
Yep.
So on page 15, the Roth IRA was initially proposed by William Roth of Delaware and a senator from Oregon. True or false?
True.
Right. It was Bob Packwood.
There's still a lot of candy. All right, the governance structure. So we have at the top the Office of the State Treasurer, which provides staff support to the board. Below the Retirement Savings Board, you see a variety of buckets. The board has general and fiduciary responsibility for the program, so setting policy and providing the oversight. Who helps? You have Upward Oregon. Earlier today, they've sort of provided an introduction, but the role is primarily oversight and governance as well. Selwood, you heard from earlier, as the investment consultant, providing reviewing the underlying investment options and providing recommendations if changes are needed. Vestwell serving as the record keeper. And then you have that sort of bucket of other services. Nikita would fall under that, I guess, to a certain degree in today's role as a fiduciary trainer. Next page, page 17, really is the statutes governing the program. So I trust that all folks will kind of read this on their own. All right, so the program governance. I mean, this page essentially mirrors the visual that we just went through, but I do think it's important to sort of restate and repeat. Each of these different groups have a role within the program. This is, again, the board setting the policy and providing the oversight. The board has its duty, you know, prudence, process, and documentation. This is really, really important. And so I won't go through all of the roles again, but I will say that the governance model is intentionally built with these multiple investment roles to create the necessary checks and balances. So a good governance framework is prudence, process, and documentation. And, you know, we believe that the Oregon Saves is doing exactly that.
And just maybe real quick before you move on, this page really just shows the importance of checks and balances. And all of this information is also in your program description. So not only are we sharing it with you, but anybody that's in the plan can also review and know what each of these different entities do. Oh, and then I get to ask another question. Participation in state auto IRA programs is mandatory for employees. Correct. Good job.
All right, state auto IRA plan features.
Sorry, can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
Just going back to the last slide, can you just give a little explanation of the municipal securities, the units that are held in the Oregon Saves accounts and kind of how that works?
Yeah, and we do have a slide in one of the other decks but I don't know if it's in the big one or the 529 one, but just in general, if you think about what a municipal security is, it's a security that's issued by the state entity. And so it's your security. If I'm investing in one of these securities, there might be a ticker, at least on the 529 side, but you can't go type in a ticker and get all the information on it. So it's kind of like a fund of funds, right? So even if it's a fund of one, you create a security that's municipal security that holds all the underlying funds. So for the target date funds, you're holding each one of those target date funds in each of the options. So that's really it. It is a little bit different. It's nuanced, but that's what it means.
Okay.
All right, the default investment option. This is a typical plan feature. Typically what you see from a default investment perspective, you have an initial investment that goes, as I mentioned, into some sort of a highly liquid capital preservation or money market fund. In the case of Oregon Saves, the structure here is you start off with the capital preservation fund. Typically after 30 days, that gets swept into target date fund. That is reflective of both your age and your retirement year. At that point, you know, the participant or the saver does, you know, have the ability to pull that money out if they are not interested. But we believe this plan design typically, you know, provides participants with the best choice and the easiest choice, right? If you don't do anything, employees get put into the target date-based fund. You've got auto enrollment and auto escalation features that further sort of help to increase participation. But again, it's this concept of inertia sometimes can work in your favor as well. So. And then finally, you know, we talked about this, but again, one of the key features of these state IRAs are the auto enrollment and auto escalation. Auto enrollment simply means you are automatically enrolled. And the auto escalation is the default 5% contribution rate starts increasing year over year until we hit the 10% cap. Again, all of these are really aimed to create somewhat of an autopilot for the savers. And certainly the numbers prove the value of this. I think it's been now, there's about 1 million plus savers that have benefited from these automatic IRA features in their state plans. And, you know, with that, I'd say just to kind of sort of close this out, I think that's this is the last informative page, but in terms of all the pieces that we discussed, you've got the design, the governance, and the oversight. All of these components really define what good fiduciary practice is all about. So I will let Kay finish it off with the last question before we then turn four questions to the board.
Which is also food related, because we know lunch isn't too far in the distance. So which food wasn't invented in Oregon? Almond Roca, the Garden Burger, Pronto Pup, and Tater Tots. Correct, Almond Roca. Anybody know which one was created first of the Oregon ones? Yeah, in the 30s, 1930s. They're like little corn dogs.
Okay.
All right, so I guess we can open. I know we have a few minutes. I don't know if there's any.
11:25, yes, I'm certainly open to any questions.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate it. So now we'll take a 10-minute break to retrieve our lunch, and then we'll start again with a joint fiduciary training.